Welcome to Day 2 Cloud. Woo, we have a sponsored show for you today with Riverbed. And you're like, Riverbed, I remember them. I think I know what they do. We're talking about cloud visibility today with the folks at Riverbed. And Ned, there was a point that really grabbed my attention here. It's earlier in the show, but we got talking about the fact that when you bring up apps in the cloud, your normal visibility solution, what you might have done in your data center, has got data that looks a certain way. And then you're pulling similar data from the cloud, but it's not normalized. And so you're trying to cope with non-normalized visibility data across your hybrid and multi-cloud, an increasing problem for everybody. And how do you deal with that? We get into that part of the discussion. What grabbed your attention?
Well, just to take off that point, the thing that jumped out to me was I've installed Steelheads before, and that's what Riverbed is, right? So why are we talking about cloud visibility with Riverbed? What a strange question. And listener, if you want to know the answer, you're just going to have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you dig right in and listen. We got Brandon Carroll, technical evangelist, joining us, and Dr. Vincent Burke, chief architect for security and CTO at Riverbed. A great show here for you. We have a lot of fun in this conversation. Please enjoy. My friends from Riverbed, Dr. Vincent Burke and Brandon Carroll. Brandon, I love your title, man. Director, technical evangelist. There needs to be robes and a mitre and perhaps a scepter and something like that. That's kind of what an evangelist does, right?
Yes, and I have a book, too, that we should read.
Spreading the good word.
And then Vince Burke, chief architect, CTO at Riverbed. Vince, I'm gonna open the podcast by sending you a question here so we can get into this whole discussion about visibility. Now, okay, if I build a data center app. So this is me in my background. I love to work with the on-premises stuff. I've got a visibility strategy. I'm going to build the new thing and I'm going to monitor the new thing. And that's all part of the standard build processes. I've got tools and so on. I mean, let's pretend that I've really got, you know, I'm just so disciplined to always have my visibility lined up when I build something in my data center. Okay, cool. But now my app is in the cloud, Vince. And so what does it mean for my monitoring stack that I know and that I love so very, very much when I'm building that thing up in the cloud?
The fundamental question in here is, do the same kind of rules still apply when I move my applications to the cloud? And I think I want to, you know, for the benefit of this podcast, I want to go split this up in sort of two kind of domains, right? So the first one is I've got my application and I'm loading it in an infrastructure as a service environment, which is, you know, which is a logical thing that you do as an application provider, application builder. And then there's sort of the second problem on that, which is as I have an office environment and I'm trying to get people to SaaS applications, how do I keep, you know, visibility and monitoring on that? And I mean that from just the broadest sense, right? Like visibility is not just for performance reasons, but also, you know, you can't secure what you can't see. So visibility is kind of like the backbone on all of that. I think if I had to say the biggest problem that enterprises are facing there today is the fact that we're rushing to the cloud because the cloud is where we want to be, but we are not thinking through the implications of what it means to the visibility that we have over those applications. I think that's where the biggest crux in this problem lies.
Right, we certainly see that where the directive comes down from whomever that we must get to the cloud and we have to get to the cloud now. And there's a mad dash to just move everything, which begs the question, when you're moving to the cloud, what comes first? Doing the plan or the execution, or does it just all kind of happen at the same time? Brandon, how does that strike you? What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's one of the things like you talked about. A lot of times this is done in haste, right? We got to get to the cloud. Let's go. Get me into the cloud now. And so I think sometimes you end up seeing execution without a complete plan. And then, I mean, that lends itself into visibility, right? So we have this drive, this initiative. We got to get into the cloud. We're executing on that, but well, maybe we didn't plan so much for the visibility that we're used to having.
It seems like such a ridiculous question. Which comes first, the plan or the execution, right? Because it's like, oh, the plan does, obviously. And then, for whatever reason within cloud, it doesn't seem to a lot of times.
We'll make it up as we go along, obviously.
No, but I think, guys, a lot of this goes also towards the fundamental idea of what type of deployment model is best for the data or the application that I have, right? So the rush to the cloud is generally one of ease, resiliency. It's probably going to be cheaper. However, not all cloud deployments are created equal, right? And if we think about that, what does the data look like? How is it going to get accessed by my workers? How is it going to get accessed by my customers? What is the right deployment model and what is the right applications to sort of like grab onto, which is, if you ask the question about an on-prem applications, well, I obviously have my monitoring tools and I understand that. That equation becomes very different as we move to the cloud. And a lot of people seem to just not use that what they know when they're choosing their execution in the cloud.
Okay, so I mean, I can argue in response to that, that when I go up to the cloud, my cloud provider is going to give me lots of information about what's going on. I've got dashboards, I've got different monitoring tools I can light up and so on. Why isn't that good enough? Because that sounds like what you're saying, Vince, that maybe isn't good enough.
Yeah, so what I'm really saying here is that although all that visibility is truly available to you, and in fact, most of it looks like very good, and it's available really quick and at the tip of my fingers, but it's all different, right? So what I mean by that is like when I say cloud, I think of that big sort of white thing in the sky, but what it really is when we say cloud is it's not homogeneous like that. It's not big, beautiful, and white. What it is instead is it's somebody else's computer. And somebody else's computer is offered to me with whatever APIs and visualizations that they thought I would need. So when I'm talking about simple things like, and I'm going really high level now, network bandwidth, CPU usage, things like file transfers, like where is data moved, who's logging in, that data, available as it may be, looks different from every single provider and, again, looks different than what you used to have on-prem. So what I'm almost arguing for is, you may have that visibility, but you lack completely the normalization on that. And you're really just comparing apples to oranges at that point. That's where the problem lies.
Yeah, and two, the normalization, you're right, Vince, but I think, too, isn't there an issue where these cloud providers, while they do give you visibility, it's in their format and it's focused on cloud. But networks aren't just cloud, right? I mean, they're hybrid.
Yeah, and I think that's, Brandon, I think we should talk about that as well today, because what ends up happening is, in the end, everything is just packets and flows, right? Like in the end, even the craziest containerization orchestration is still packets moving around at some level, but they're addressed differently. We talk about them differently. Containers pop up, disappear. If I have a true SaaS application, I probably can't get to the packets and the flows. And so what ends up happening as we adopt these various cloud platform, say I'm deploying an Office application, I'm deploying I'm moving to a file storage in the cloud, I'm taking some legacy applications and I'm loading those up in infrastructure as a service, the kinds of things I can learn about that through various APIs and visibility dashboards, they're going to be different, right? They're going to be not the same language. So when I'm an operator and I'm trying to make any decision on whether is it performant, is it in the right place from a cost structure perspective, right? Is it secure? Is anyone touching it that shouldn't be touching it? All those questions become sort of like trying to piece together all these pieces of evidence to make that answer happen. And what we have just done is, the visibility exists, but to gain the insight that I need to gain, I've effectively quadruple my workload. That's just detrimental to the enterprise.
You mentioned something a little ways back that really kind of stuck with me, and it was this idea of having visibility into your application and then deploying it in the most fitting way in the cloud target environment. So that almost sort of presupposes you can look at that existing application properly where it sits today and then continue to monitor it once it's been moved, and sort of identify any new bottlenecks. So how is sort of what you're saying. We've got these visibility products out there. You want to apply the same one consistently across all these environments to make the best decision?
That would be the most straightforward way about it. And that is essentially what I, in many cases, am arguing, right? Like, especially when it comes to sort of, if we look at how enterprises make that move to the cloud, right? The very first thing you look at is my email applications and my office applications. I can probably get a SaaS offering for that. Mm-hmm. Potentially, I am accessing that through a SWG, a secure web gateway, which gives me a monitoring point. But then I have a lot, especially in enterprises, and I've seen this time and time again, sort of those applications that your enterprise depends on, you know, that are effectively running as on a server in a data center, which now becomes, it gets lifted, moved to the cloud, and you run it from there. And in the end, you know, it runs on somebody else's computer, but it's still a computer accepting connections. Those connections are coming in through a path, and all those same metrics apply. And we can monitor with the exact same tools at all those intersection points and give that operator sort of that single pane of glass in that hybrid environment. Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. If you take it down to the fundamentals, I mean, that's what it is, right? It's still, like you said, it's still packets. It's still a path. It's still a computer that's responding to requests.
Okay, though, but to follow up on Ned's question here, I mean, there's a bunch of tools out there that we end up collecting for our visibility, right? We've got the one tool that does this part of the infrastructure, you got with this one that's very application focused, and something else seems to be user experience focused. So you guys are talking about this panacea of the one tool that rules them all. So just drill in on that a little bit more. Is that really what we're talking about?
Of course it is. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding now, but... what I'd like to sort of point out is that ecosystem that you have come to understand as your tooling set, right? Like, you're the plumber and you open the bag and you've got your particular pipe wrench that you like, and you've got your particular torch that you like, and all the other tools that a plumber uses that I'm not familiar with. However, you are used to your tooling set. And the thing is as long as we recognize that the cloud are still computers, applications can run on those computers in a different location. However, the exact same measurements and metrics apply, right? And in that regard, what I'm saying is that most of the tooling suite that you use today is probably very much applicable to that migration to the cloud. However, we do need to take that step as we are deploying in the cloud to think about, can I still get access to that same telemetry in the same way? Or do I need to take an extra step or a different step so I get that single pane of glass?
One of the things that changes really significantly when you are adopting the cloud is your network. Because before, you had all these clients and they were ostensibly in the same building or very close to the building that was running the application. Now you're in a situation where the clients are still in that building maybe, but your application's now somewhere else. And if we take a step further, especially with what's going on with the pandemic and everything, now even your clients are vastly distributed. So how does that impact visibility and monitoring when you now have this really distributed networking architecture?
So I'll take that one. This is a drive that I think is not new, right? I think that if we look at what happened with the pandemic, it is true. More and more people have started working from home, and more people have started using their own devices, meaning, I can access my messenger applications on my phone. That connection is no longer going through a corporate network that's straightforward to monitor, right? So this is something that had already been happening. I worked out of airports more than I worked out of offices. And that's just how that had that has been going on for lots of people as well. I think what sets the drive towards a different network architecture that we are seeing right now, apart from what happened in sort of, if you think the early 2000s, is that in the early 2000s, when I walked into an office, if there even was Wi-Fi, that Wi-Fi connected to the rest of the world through one single T1 link, right? We had 1.55 megabits per second, and we were sharing that with probably 100 people at that location. And if that link was down or that link was saturated, then, well, nobody was going to have a good day. what really has transformed in the last decade or so is we have so many paths to the wider internet, right? We have so many paths through which we can get to our applications. And that is not new, right? That is not something that the pandemic just did. If the application on my laptop isn't getting me to my email, I'll grab my phone, I'll check there. And if that doesn't work, my phone, I'll take it off the Wi-Fi and I'll go over 4G, 5G, what have you. And if that doesn't work, I'll grab an iPad, right? Like, people have different ways of accessing the application. And I think that what we're sort of what's coming due, if you will, is that a lot of organizations are suddenly like, well, okay, now that we are moving everybody work from home, all of a sudden we have to catch up to this new trend, right? Like, a lot of organizations had been believing that they had that visibility, whereas that visibility had slowly been eroded. Now, the silver lining in this, and then we'll see what Brandon thinks. The silver lining in this is that with this drive to the cloud, we are also starting to see a reconsolidation, right? People are starting to understand that, like, look, we're spread so thin, so wide. I don't know where my data is. I need to reel that in. And as we're doing that, visibility and monitoring now starts to be actually more consolidated, right? There is an entry point into my infrastructure as a service. There is an entry point where my users onboard onto the cloud and can access SaaS applications through that. Those have now become the network monitoring points through which I can sort of start to regain that visibility. And the interesting thing is, the kinds of tooling you always used to use for that remains valid in that scenario. Brandon?
And the whole point of the clients being distributed, I mean, when you talk about moving to the cloud, you have an entry point into that cloud, right? So your monitoring there is going to be what it is. It's, you're going to monitor there. Connections coming in and out, packets in and out, you know, that type of stuff. The issue of a distributed workforce now, I think that's a little different when you start talking about monitoring, because we've handled distributed workforces in the past by having a corporate asset with an agent on it that gives us visibility to that endpoint, right? But at some point, if you're talking about accessing cloud resources, it's the same, right? Once you get to that entry point into the cloud, now, Ned, you mentioned that the network is different in the cloud. So we still need to see the same information, but Vincent made the point earlier that, do we still get to that information the same way we used to? Or now, is there a different way that we extract that information from the infrastructure?
There's an elephant in the room we got to address, guys, because it hits me that we've been going on for 15 plus minutes about visibility, cloud visibility, and you guys are Riverbed. Well, Ned and I have both installed Riverbed appliances in our illustrious IT careers, and we installed them for WAN optimization. We weren't installing them for visibility, so because that's what I think of first when I think of Riverbed, right? Steelheads and WAN op doing the magic stuff. So how in the heck do you guys fit in with cloud visibility?
So how do we fit in with the cloud visibility? You're absolutely right. And this is something that we as Riverbed have seen happen probably way longer than you have. Riverbed's always been the king of getting you to your data as fast as possible. And as data has moved to the cloud, Riverbed has followed that, right? Which is through our SaaS acceleration technologies that give you effectively the same kind of acceleration from your workstation all the way to cloud applications and SaaS applications as you traditionally would have between data centers with the traditional steelheads. However, as Riverbed optimized networks in that way, customers always asked us, you know, what is the visibility? You know, can we see how much better it's getting? Can we see where we need to optimize and where we have bottlenecks? Why the performance of our customers or our workforce is impacted? And so through the decades, Riverbed has built up this broad portfolio of various monitoring technologies that basically monitor networks at any conceivable level, any way from monitoring response time in the individual delivered application down to the packets and the flows and the response times as they traverse a network path. All that technology remains valid as we move applications to the cloud. And I mean that actually from both an application provider side. So if I'm you know, I'm a business providing a customer with an application, and I want to make sure that that customer has the best experience possible. To the other side, I have an enterprise with 90,000 people working from all manner of locations, accessing central resources, either in a data center or the cloud, making sure that all of them have a productive experience. So it really goes hand in hand. Brendan, what do you think?
When you were talking, Ethan, I thought you were going to say what so many other people say, and that's, oh yeah, I've installed a riverbed before. And that's the mindset that a lot of people have, right? It's they mean a steelhead, a WANOP appliance, but they've kind of, you know, yeah, focused on just that. But like Vince said, it's so much more that we provide. And in the migration to the cloud, I mean, we've always had this reputation for being able to get traffic to another site really fast, between sites, between our data centers. And of course, for all those steelheads that you've installed that do that, you know, there's real benefit to that. When you move to the cloud, you still want to get traffic there fast. And we do the SaaS acceleration, like Vince mentioned, and cloud, you know, acceleration. So as customers migrate to the cloud, and then they take that same technology into the cloud, extending the visibility goes right along with it.
So architecturally, Riverbed is able to accelerate, do the WANOP magic that we're all familiar with, because you're in path, right? You can see those protocols and do the magic optimizations and compressions and dedupe and all the things. But you're, again, you're in path. So is that what we're talking about here architecturally for visibility? You're in path and watching things go by on the wire? I'm waving my hands, audience. You can't see this, but I'm waving my hands illustratively. Is that what that looks like, Brandon?
For some things, in path makes sense, right? So if we do have something in path and we can capture flows, then it makes sense to be able to report on flow data. But of course, in the cloud, not everything's going to be in path. So there's got to be other ways to extract your monitoring information.
So we're not talking necessarily about a steelhead appliance that happens to have visibility capabilities. We could be talking about a complete other Riverbed product that's doing this magic.
So the interesting thing about it is that people will say that, okay, well, you have packet capture appliances like our app responses, or you can gather SNMP data, response time, CPU data, memory utilization. But how does that work in the cloud? You can't capture packets in the cloud. Well, surprise, we actually can. In fact, we can keep those packets right there, and then you can go in and pull out only those that you really need to look at, which is not just from a performance perspective. I mean, obviously, if you were trying to analyze why the application you're delivering is having response time issues to customers in the greater New York City area, yeah, it's great if I can pull just those packets and just those flows out of my cloud app response packet appliance. But it's also really powerful from a security perspective. And I want to touch on security in just a little bit.
Here we go, audience. Vince is about to talk about security. We know from the prep call that he gets very excited. So hang on.
Well, the thing is, without joking about it, one thing that has happened is this rush to the cloud. People have, you know, in the old days, you had your data center, and that data center was accessed through you had to go through a firewall, and you had your monitoring for security purposes there, and your identity and access control, and all of that set inside a rack of servers that you had complete and full control over. You could turn those things off if you wanted to, right? So you had that visibility and that control over all your data because your data lived inside your database, right? Your customer records, your finance, you know, your tax accounting. Now what we have done is we have gone ahead and we've deployed Salesforce to put our sales records in the cloud. And we've gone ahead and, you know, you've got your QuickBooks for your finances, and it's out, you know, sitting out there in yet a different server that you don't control, probably side by side with a lot of other people's data, right? And you know, go ahead and, you know, we have lots of buckets of data at the store, and we'll stick those into S3. And so what has happened is that the data that, you know, sort of the enterprise, the digital enterprise considered theirs has been taken outside of this border, outside of this perimeter, and has been spread across all these different services in the cloud. And what has happened, I'm not saying it's not secure there. What I'm saying is we have lost our ability to see it, to understand what is where and how it's being used. And what is bad or what is potentially risky about that is that even though the application you're putting your data in is probably really secure, right? And this is something, Ethan, we've talked about. If all I have to do is deploy one application that I wrote and I deploy that in the cloud for my customers, I know that application through and through, right? When I'm Salesforce, when I'm O365, I know my application and I can keep that application safe and secure. I don't think it is very likely somebody's going to penetrate that. However, the data that the enterprise puts into this application is only as secure as the person accessing it, right? Meaning the worker in the enterprise can get phished. The worker in the enterprise can install malware accidentally and then go and access corporate data in a SaaS application. And I have now lost the visibility with which I might be able to secure that, right? So this is this sort of goes hand in hand, right? Sort of you cannot have security without proper visibility. And with our data so spread out everywhere and visibility, if you don't do it right, being fragmented, incomplete, and non-homogeneous, it can be very, very hard to figure out what happened to which data, when, and where did it come from, and if anywhere else in my organization, I am also leaking this data. So cloud visibility and cloud security go completely hand in hand. So there you go. There's my rant on that.
And it's a good rant. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
You know, so one of the potential solutions that I've seen is to apply some sort of metadata tagging and tracking to the data itself, whether it's a document or something else, so that it can be traced as it moves through different environments or different clouds. So that's one way of potentially adding visibility. What do you think what's the solution or a solution to actually being able to successfully track data and ownership of that data and security across all these different cloud deployments?
So I think that the answer to that has not yet revealed itself completely. One aspect of that problem that I want to point out is despite me waxing poetic about proper visibility, right? Because I can obviously answer your question with, geez, you know, if all I do is properly monitor all traffic in and out of my various cloud applications, I'll be fine. But that's not the whole story. One of the bigger risks that we are running here, you know, specifically from a sort of a data governance, where is my data, how is it being used perspective, is that when workers in an organization have to jump through too many hoops to get the data that they need, they tend to sort of create out-of-band business practices, right? Like this is a process that they're going to follow that is not sort of sanctioned by the enterprise. Now, the example of this, and I call this the problem of shadow IT, which is a term that we saw, you know, decades ago when somebody would take an old PC, stick it in the network under their desk, turn it on, and then they would run their file server on it because that way they could more easily share files for the specific project they were working on, right? So I don't want anybody to get their hands on these social security numbers, so I'll create my own secure file server and then never ever update it, right? Like that's sort of what ends up happening. So, well, thankfully, now that we've moved to the cloud, that problem is no longer a problem. Or is it, right? What I see all around me is people creating their own Slack channels and people creating their own S3 buckets.
It's got to be a worse problem. We used to catch the shadow IT on-prem because someone would put in a rec for some big, huge file server style workstation. We're like, what do you need that machine for? Oh, it's because I do this and this. And we're like, wait a minute. No, you don't. Now, how do you catch it in the cloud? Ugh.
But SaaS-based shadow IT is really, really insidious in that way because, you know, when I was a cybersecurity operator, incident responder guy, like, what did you do on Friday afternoon? You'd crack a beer and you'd just look at the network traffic for a while. And you'd be like, Well, hang on a second. Why is there SIFS traffic going to that IP address that is sitting in the accounting network? There ought not be one, right? And you'd like dig into it, and on Monday you had someone to yell at. Now you've got an S3 bucket, and I don't see that traffic. I mean, the best I can hope for is that I capture it when it comes in through a VPN and then goes out to that cloud provider. So we really have a big problem here, and it is a problem of visibility.
Vince is completely right. It's a huge problem. And I was thinking when Ned, you asked about, you know, one method of gaining visibility is to do these meta tags and track it wherever it goes in the network. And that's great. That's just one more thing I can do. But I always think when I was growing up, I used to watch G.I. Joe and their slogan was knowing is half the battle. And that's the key here too, right? Knowing, right? Without visibility, you don't know. So I think it is important to employ as much as you can in terms of visibility. So the cloud's going to have different things that you can see, and it may present itself in different ways. And when you're on-prem, you're going to have different ways of, you know, net flow and pulling packets and getting that visibility. But really what it all comes down to at the end is being able to take all of that, all this cloud stuff, all this on-prem stuff, all your mobile user stuff, and you have to be able to take that and put it into one complete picture, because then you know. Until we get to that, until we have the ability to put all of this stuff together and give you some meaningful information, then we're just going to keep going on with this problem. You know, the shadow IT, these other applications being brought up, some server that's sitting under somebody's desk. So that I think that, you know, when you asked how do we do it, I think we have to do it in a lot of different ways and then stitch it all together to make it make sense.
Well, there's one specific scenario here that concerns me, which is in the modern app delivery world, almost everything's encrypted, right? It's probably a web app, and it's almost assuredly encrypted if it is. How do you do analysis on that to understand from, like, and I guess I'm talking about from a data compliance perspective, what is this data? How do I know that it's wherever it's coming from and going to is in a data compliant way? How can I even know what that data is?
So that question has a multifaceted answer, but let's start at the packet level, right? So Riverbed has, you know, our optimization solutions typically have ways to decrypt the traffic so that the optimization can happen effectively, yeah, then re-encrypt the channel, right?
Yeah,
so there's
man in the middle. The WAN op appliance sits there and it's got a certificate installed and it can do the de-encrypt and the re-encrypt so it can do the optimization, right? Yep.
If you own the server and therefore the server certificate, we can do the exact same thing with our packet capture appliances. We can capture the stream to, for instance, a file server, decrypt that and give you decrypted packets or even files coming out of that, and hand those over to either, performance operator or security operator. Now, for traffic that is, certificate pinning, going to an environment where you cannot use proxy certificates, what have you, there is a different level of intelligence we have to apply, right? So there's a forest through the trees kind of example here. For instance, you could use floating.
Well, just again, can't use proxy certificates, as in you're not going to be able to decrypt, analyze, yes, re-encrypt. You're stuck dealing with a purely encrypted stream that's passing through.
Yeah, and at this point, we offer a variety of other ways to look at it, right? You can look volumetrically because lots of data encrypted is still big, right? Like you can start figuring out when somebody's downloading your entire database over an SSH connection, which you cannot decrypt, obviously, because it has used the Diffie-Hellman exchange to establish itself a session key. But the volume is there. And also the destination IP address is there. So there's still a lot you can tell about encrypted traffic. And especially looking at a flow level as opposed to a packet level allows you to see that forest through the trees, right? You can see connection patterns, right? Like, there was a password brute forcing happening here because I've got about 1,000 connections per minute happening against that machine. And, look at that. Here I've got a huge data download or a copy happening, which potentially is a data exfiltration, right? So you can sort of look at that from that sort of behavioral level. So it becomes a multifaceted approach. Now, if we're looking at pure proper SaaS applications, generally, we may not be able to capture those packets if they're coming, say, from a iPad going directly over a 5G connection to the cloud. Mm-hmm. However, there we can start looking at APIs and API calls and trying to understand which files were accessed by whom, right? So that visibility doesn't disappear. It just comes in a slightly different form factor, which is why I meant, you know, what I meant to say when I said, look, it's a multifaceted approach. Like, you have to keep all of those things in mind. Now, the last thing I want to say, and I promise I'll be quiet, the last thing I want to say about this is that, you know, people should stop and think about how they go about choosing and deploying when they move to the cloud. And what I mean by that is generally the primary factors for people deciding how they're going to adopt the cloud is functionality and price, right? Those are the two big factors that we look at when we make a decision for a cloud application or a move to an infrastructure provider or what have you. What about visibility, right? If data governance, you know, if an understanding of where my data lives in the enterprise, if data security, if a cost analysis, all those things depend on visibility. And if that's important to me, and I know it is, then maybe we can also start thinking about, you know, is the deployment model for this application that I'm choosing conducive to the visibility that I think I'm going to need, right? Like, and set a minimum standard and possibly disqualify a cloud deployment model for a particular application because you will not end up with the visibility that you as an enterprise desire. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Encryption is what it is. You can't just magically understand and know everything that's in there, but through a collection of analysis techniques and different tools applied to different situations, you can come up with a pretty good idea of what's going on. And when you have those red flags go off, you can take some sort of an action, or you can at least alert someone to take to potentially do some analysis and take some sort of an action.
Or disqualify the deployment in a particular manner if you feel like it does not yield you, if the data is critical enough and it does not yield you with enough visibility. Yes, I think that would summarize it.
Right. It sounds like, I mean, if we're examining this from an architecture standpoint, we need something to collect the data, right? And it seems like that's generally going to be at some endpoint where the traffic is coming in to whatever you've deployed in the cloud, because it's going to be hard to put a collector on every client device. That's just, it's not feasible. And then we need to push it into some sort of analysis engine and then do something if that analysis, you know, says, hey, something's wrong, you should do something. So I'm curious if we want to tie this back to, you know, that initial, how does Riverbed tie into this whole conversation? What components of that cloud architecture is Riverbed invested in? I'll put that to Vince.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been dominating the airwaves on this one. Brandon, why don't you take it? But I'll take a very quick stab, and then Brandon can give his 10 cents on it. So I completely agree with that. You know, obviously, we need to be choosing our telemetry collection points. This is a little bit like, and I'm going to give an analogy that you might have heard me do in the past here, right? So if I consider my complete deployment, hybrid as it may be, on-prem data centers, work from home, cloud resources all over the place, I can sort of see that as a battlefield, right? Like, I can see that as the place that I need to protect, the place that I need to optimize for and control, if you will. Depending on what that terrain looks like, the battlefield commander would go out and would make telemetry collection decisions based on strategic advantage points, right? So for instance, I would put a drone in the sky, and at the same time, I would look at it with binoculars from the hill because the hill is well positioned. And then I'm going to put a tripwire up, and I'm going to use night vision goggles, like the whole thing, right? You can go on and on with this analogy. And the same sort of thing happens with the hybrid digital enterprise. We need to have collection points where that makes sense, right? And where that makes sense, I don't have to tell you that. Most network operators already understand that. Like, where are we onboarding? What can we catch in VPN concentrators? What can we see in the application that we're providing in an infrastructure as a service environment. Now, the second decision is, where am I going to analyze that data? Analyzing that data, because, you know, the beauty of bringing data together, like this kind of telemetry together, is that I can start to compare things, right? And I can start to compare apples to apples, and I can start to build behavioral profiles. I can start to build even predictive models is some of the things that we are very active in, because when you have all the data and you bring all this data together in one point, you can start to say all kinds of meaningful things. For instance, geez, look at this. Traffic goes up and down, up and down, up and down, but there is an overlaying trend, and that overlaying trend is telling us that come Black Friday, my application isn't going to be ready for the number of shoppers that I'm going to be expecting, right? And that's kind of like really powerful, but it requires you to bring this data together. Now, where do we do that? We offer sort of two kind of options there. One, you can bring that data together in an on-premise appliance if that makes sense for you. Generally, we see customers do that either feel that their data is extremely sensitive or they still have most of their infrastructure on-prem. Obviously, you can bring data from the cloud back there as well, or we leave the cloud-based data in the cloud, and you can even bring on-premise data to our cloud-based visibility solution. So you can really sort of approach it in a hybrid model, but the key here is that the analysis works better when data is together, right? And so with that, I'll stop and I'll see what Brendan thinks of my answer there.
It's the same thing I was saying earlier, right? As you get as much information as you can and present it in a meaningful way. So yeah, the collection points, like Vince said, we know where it matters to collect information. So we collect in those places. Vince talked about having the on-prem solution to analyze. You could be geographically dispersed and have something analyzing in different locations and then bring it all up into Portal and display that. The architecture, Ned, that you talked about, you know, collect, analyze, and then react. I mean, that doesn't change. You need that. It's just where you're doing it and how you're displaying it. And I think that's where, when it comes to Riverbed and how we put this stuff together, we do all the things that you would expect. We collect the data and it, you know, packets, flows, SNMP data, I mean, all the different types of data that we can think of, collect it all and then present it. And like Vince said, we, you know, have the ability to do things like look at patterns and then, you know, alert based on things that we see happening. So, yeah, I don't really have a whole lot more to add to what Vince said, because, I mean, it is what it is. That's right. How we monitor.
So, Brendan, I'm curious. You have some level of, I'd say, visibility as Riverbed into what's being collected, especially if someone uses like the SaaS type offering. And maybe you're starting to see common patterns across multiple tenants. Is that something that you're taking advantage of today, or you've got like pre-built configurations for detection in your solution because you've been able to build models off of all this tenant data?
Yeah, so it would depend, I think, on the modules we're talking about in terms of, you know, what pieces of our solution you put together to look at the data. But I will say that what we offer is highly customizable. Mm-hmm. While you will see things by default, are able to give you that. We know that, you know, everybody's network is special. It's a unicorn.
It's a pretty snowflake.
Yeah. So we're gonna let you put it together in a way that's gonna mean something to your organization. Vince, do you want to add to that?
I always have something to add, don't I? So one thing I'd say to that, no, Brendan, is that I also have my fingers pretty deep into what's happening at the labs here at Riverbed and the technologies we're developing. And there's some really, really exciting ideas being proven out where, yeah, there are things to be learned. There's things that are common. There are patterns that are evolving, and there are there are unique behaviors that are developing in applications in cloud and in the internet where using the data of the many can help make performance recommendations and predictions and even security recommendations for the few, right? For some. So making use sort of as this collective of data that we have our hands on to come up with recommendations and predictions for you as a customer is like a very, very powerful trend. And I think that we're going to continue to see that. There's just so much still in AI and ML technology to be exploited in this case and used in a good and reliable way, right? Like we don't want models that fail because, you know, like it's sort of the academic problem, right? Like if I train a neural network and that neural network gets the image classification right 86% of the time, that may sound like it's doing really, really good because, you know, 86% of the time, it got it right. Except I can't go and stick it in a car right now because that means that it's going to kill 14 out of 100 people, right? Like you have to get, and the same sort of thing happens in computer network, you know, in sort of the AI ops field. Like if we're going to make a decision and a recommendation, we need to make sure that that is 100% correct and the right one. So that's sort of the space where those kinds of developments are really starting to come together. We're going to see some great, great advances as monitoring technology is now also moving to the cloud where we can really use the power of big data to start getting the benefit of that there. So that's what I'd say to that, you know. Stay tuned for all that awesomeness that's still to come in the upcoming years.
Well, Riverbed folks, this has been an interesting conversation because, again, going back to that elephant in the room we were talking about earlier in the show, it's like, oh, Riverbed, WANOP, Steelheads, I remember them, yay. But there's so much more that you guys are doing, and visibility is chief among the capabilities that Riverbed Tech is bringing to IT and to cloud specifically. Now, another thing that was interesting about this conversation is I kind of feel like we like cracked the lid and just getting a peek inside the container, and there's so much more that we could have talked about. But as you would, being, you know, you guys and you know, and a company that is making media out there, you've got a webinar series that you can send people to, Brandon.
Absolutely, yeah. So if people want to see and hear more about, you know, what we're doing to provide visibility and security from the data center all the way to the cloud, they can go visit riverbed.com/day2cloud, and that's the number 2. And so over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll have SMEs that will discuss metrics that matter, quantifying performance in the cloud. And of course, Vince will be featured so he can discuss technology, teams and strategies of putting together effective cyber hunting. And it's a really cool series. So I think
I would go just to hear it. Vince rant some more. That would be amazing.
And you should.
Yeah.
It's definitely a podcast you might want to listen to. The one on effective cyber hunting and how do you, there's another podcast there on how do you get the right visibility in the cloud and what to think about from a cybersecurity perspective, right? Like mm-hmm. the mistakes people make. So I highly recommend you pop over there and take a look.
So again, that's riverbed.com/day2cloud, day two cloud with the number 2 in the middle, riverbed.com/day2cloud. And Vincent, you just piped up there. Are you active on the socials? Do you have a book you want to promote or a podcast, anything like that? Share with the good folks how they can follow you more.
A book I would like to promote. I don't have time to write books. I just do talking. No, you can check me out on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn, very good. And same question to you, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, yep, at Brandon Carroll. And of course on LinkedIn as well. Those are the two easy ways socially to get together with me. But we also have our Riverbed blog, riverbed.com/blogs. And so we're pretty active on there with sharing some of the new cool stuff that we're enjoying discussions about.
Lovely. And if you're listening to this and wanted to catch up with that and can't remember because maybe you're one of the few people driving into an office these days, well, it's all going to be at packetpushers.net or day2cloud.io. All of the show notes with all of these links there for your convenience. Our thanks to Riverbed for sponsoring today's discussion. Visibility is the part of the solution we engineers sometimes don't take seriously until we need it. And then, of course, it's too late at that point because the time to order glasses is not the moment you need to see something urgently. instantly. If you talk to your local Riverbed human about cloud visibility, let them know that you heard this discussion on Day 2 Cloud, part of the Packet Pushers network of podcasts, blogs, videos, and more educational content for your professional career development. Now, look at you. You made it to the end of the episode. Virtual high fives for tuning in. If you have suggestions for future shows, Ned and I would love to hear them. You could tweet at Day 2 Cloud Show or fill out the form on Ned's super fancy website, nedinthecloud.com. And if you like engineering-oriented shows like this one, visit packetpushers.net/subscribe. All of our podcasts, newsletters, and websites are there. Until then, just remember, cloud is what happens while IT is making other plans.